Radio.
Sound waves in the air.
CKUT.
Montreal, Canada.
CKUT.
You are listening to
listening to is Slice Escuchando. Vous écoutez a multilingual affair here on CKUT 92.3 FM with Takis, your reggae fusion artist, lady who wears many wraps and colourful ones at that. Well, 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 comment allez-vous? Ha! Listen, if there's anything I want to tell you is that people have resilience. I am fascinated by people's resilience. I will see older people going into the grocery stores and walking slowly and but really, like, you know, with the strength to do their shopping. And some people are in canes, or some people are barely walking, but they're making it out there. And I really want to give kudos to all the people in the world, because they're, you know, our world is mad and fills with a lot of stress and strain, and yet people are very resilient. C'est la résilience de les gens. Alors, les gens comme ils continuent d'être forts. Tu sais, c'est comme tu es allé pour faire l'épicerie ou quelque chose comme ça, ou magasiner. Et il y a quelqu'un qui, comme presque, il peut pas marcher, mais il continue d'aller acheter n'importe quoi qu'il veut avoir. Et c'est juste parce qu'on a beaucoup de problèmes dans le monde, il y a beaucoup de stress, et vraiment, mais les gens continuent avec la persévérance. Ça, pour moi, ça c'est comme incroyable. Même si on a des problèmes, une pandémie maintenant, les gens continuent parce que les gens veulent continuer avec sa vie. Les gens veulent être vivants. C'est ça? You know? C'est comme la gente qui veut continuer à survivre. Et c'est ça? C'est comme yo, comme la gente anda y marcha y yo estoy hablando de los viejecitos, ¿sabes? Y ellos están en el supermercado, están como comprando las cosas y apenas pueden andar bien. Entonces, ¿sabes? Como es como casi es como una lucha, una batalla simplemente para andar, pero siguen y sin una fuerza, por como yo observo, es que es nada que me lo puedo imaginar. Y yo creo que hay mucha resiliencia dentro de cada uno, y por eso podemos continuar de tener esta la presión que tenemos y continuamos así. Pero we are going to discuss narcissism in love, y tenemos una invitada muy especial. Ella viene de los Estados Unidos. She's a doctor, a psychologist, an author, and also a podcaster coming from the United States. And we're going to talk about narcissism in love, because it's a need that I feel is absolutely necessary. And I, as a survivor of narcissistic abuse in both love and family, I can tell you right away that it's important to recognize certain characteristics about yourself and the narcissistic person. All right, so this is what we're doing. It's called Healing Today, and we have the lovely Dr. Karen Anderson Abril with us from the United States. On a notre invité très spécial qui vient de les États-Unis, et on va parler à propos de l'amour et de narcissisme. Alors, on continue avec la fête comme d'habitude ici.
On CKUT
90.3 les antipoas atteint, c'est un nous qu'elle a demain matin.
Ouais, t'as fini quand je mets le turbo. J'adore quand tu me dis libre et c'est toi le plus beau. Et des suites, je préfère celui qui me fait ramper au rideau. À n'importe quelle heure et dans n'importe quel studio. Tout le monde sait que tu connais toutes les œuvres, donc on t'aime trop. On sait tous avec toi, on passe à des moments très chauds. À chaque fois que tu te sens seul, n'hésite pas qu'on prend ton numéro. Et toi-même, tu sais que toi, tout ce sera très chaud.
Angela Mums, à bord du hound, contraint je suis, une contrainte, c'est par contrat moral qu'elle se retrouve contre un noir à lunettes, vie solo, homme de zouzou, homme de soukous, malhonnête coussi, oui, si j'ai pas elle, j'ai sa cousine, elle est coussi, coussa la grossie, mais je mettrai un coup à ça.
Bon.
Kampala.
Angela, Angela.
Ou fait que j'en dis moins awa. Pas de problème si papa ou pas là.
Tout le monde te connaît dans le quartier, fais pas style. Tu nous connais pas, t'es celle sur qui tous les gars se retournent. Une fille ne marche plus très loin.
Angela, qu'a ou que faire si papa ou ça, ça. S'en foutait, ou pas qu'a pète voix, ou qu'a continuer.
Me tocas, y me hunden las olas. Y me hunde la lluvia. Me besas, sueño y miel en mi boca. Sueño y miel en la ropa. Ay, recuerda, recuerda. Y me voy, y me voy, y me voy. Y te vas, y te vas. Amar un ser tuyo, recuérdalo. Quiero luego, siento que tengo poco tiempo, yo no quiero perder. Tú me hacías falta, jugué, sin ojos caminé. Cualquiera que toma la vida gana, cualquiera que mira afuera huye. Cualquiera que esté despierto cobra, cualquiera que sufre ama fuerte. Y a donde esté, como hago la tierra, donde esté, aunque yo me pierda, donde esté. Dentro de mí quien frase rezan tú y yo. Me miras, soy tuya hasta el amanecer. Se nos agotan las horas. Me olvido, te olvidas al cerrar los ojos. Solo hay melodía.
Anton, and you are tuned into a multilingual affair with Taki.
Keep it.
How y'all feel out there?
Yeah.
if I could just meditate some more on this musical vibe. Oh, I could go on and on. yeah, we started off on a commencé avec Rio Mira, Adios Morena with Nicola Cruz, the remix, Cyan Super Crew, Angela, it's a beautiful zouk sort of sound coming out, Ibeyi, Me Voy, featuring Mala Rodriguez. Light in Babylon is what you're listening to with Hanek Yaffa. And coming up, Arto Moreira, Ritmo do Mundo, de Brazil. Terracotta World Masala, Expressivo. Thievery Corporation, I think the banks are Thievery Corporation, but this is one of my favorite groups, as I always say, from the France. Sound the Alarm, coming up. Luciana's rendition of We Are the World in honor of my guy who died too quickly and too soon. MJ, the king himself, Michael Jackson, just suffered and got the hands of the vicious society who continue to pass judgment on others. Les gens continue de passer le jugement. Hein? And he died, you know. But I'm so glad that he lived also, because he was still just a child, just enjoying his life as much as he can, given the fact that he was thrown into fame. It wasn't a choice. Alright, and so we've got so much more, plus a fantastic interview just coming up, so I'm done chatting up. Because sometimes when I chat, I forget to chat, one, chat up my patois to you now, because some people imitate my patois and they know them a chatbot. A lot of people try to imitate other people's culture, some other culture appropriation, which is a huge disrespect. That in itself is bad mind. We need to be more conscious of how we affect other cultures and how we hurt other cultures by imitating. Because if I were to go like, hey, Estita Mawet, Quebecois, le, I'm sure people wouldn't like it. So why should we like your antics? Just saying. Keep it locked here on CKUT 9.3 FM. It's Tiki on the microphone. Done all the things there. Done all the tingo. That's a real genius guy.
Big Masala, Energia vai e vem, é difícil pará-la. Morre, nasce, gira, mexe, tira, põe, sobe e desce. Magia acontece e o universo agradece. Mas quando o homem tenta racionalizar, começa a separar, dá portal a controlar. Magia julgada, posta de parte e alterada. É ligação do todo criada a partir do nada.
Sou mátria nesta pátria, sou moça, mãe motriz. Motor dessa maratona, amor encantada, me sinto a matriz. E canto em maio, tomo estico, móvel do mente e coração. Canto ao mundo, movediço, moda e meta de oração. Movimentação que provoca a mudança em forma de colisão. Eu quero mimar o movente de gente com mambo, merengue e milonga. Com mímica, a mina melódica que eu me proponga. Eu quero a morada sem bomba. Eu quero a morada sem bomba.
Gadigena karkada, gadigena karkada, gadigena karkada, kumtar kita, kita, ta, ta, na, 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 dani, dum, da, dum, da, dum, da, dum, da, dum, da, da, dum.
Passada, presente ou futura, não são ponto de ruptura, são todo de uma aventura, são beleza universal, criadores da receita na aldeia global. Mas o tempo passa e ultrapassa o conceito de raça. Quando vês um afro com olhos de chinês, pois é, a magia foi lançada outra vez.
Não sou muda, nem uso mordaça, não mordo o meu semelhante. Não me mascaro, sei o que se passa, mas sou rebentando altifalante. Minha munição, arma metafórica, é puro de amor e perdão. Com um despertar brilho eufórica, chama a trina no chakra do coração.
On CKUT 93.3 FM.
Escuchando a multilingual affair. Vous écoutez a multilingual affair here on CKUT 90.3 FM with Takis, your reggae fusion artist, lady who wears many wraps and colorful ones at that. Oh, we have a fantastic guest in store as usual, but this one is very special to me, and you'll know why, because it hits a very personal level of some things that we are going to discuss. She's a psychology professor turned self-help author turned podcast host, and her book we're going to talk about, because she's got a book, it's a PhD and all that stuff, and this lovely soul is going to talk to us a little bit about narcissism in love, which is my topic, and whatever else we want to talk about. Ah, hello, bonjour à tous. Un professeur de psychologie devenu auteur d'autosistance et devenu aussi animatrice de podcast. On va parler un peu à propos de l'amour et le narcissisme. Hein? Hola a todos. La profesora que vamos a hablar tiene una doctorada en psicología, convertida en autora de autoayuda y convertida también en presentadora de podcast. Y tiene, que es escritora, tiene un libro y vamos a hablar ahora mismo. Je vous présente, os presento a Dr. Karen Anderson Averill. Woohoo! On Emma! Great.
Wow, I'm just mesmerized by your trilingual introduction. That's amazing.
Oh, blessings to you. I try, but I tell you, it's one of those things where we love to have, so we can let it, everyone, as many people as we can, get the message. So merci, thank you.
Merci. Love,
I just love it. Tell us, first of all, whereabouts are you located?
Yes, yeah, so I'm outside Chicago. I spent my single girl life in Chicago, and then I got married about 10 years ago and ended up moving to Northwest Indiana, to a small community called Valparaiso. Ooh. So that's where I am.
That is like a little Spanish there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
Vale of Paradise.
Yes, exactly. Paraíso, that's correct. So, Doctor, you know, one of the things that I really want to touch on is the fact that many people in relationships, they have a tendency to be in a narcissistic relationship. I'm not saying that all people, but I do know that there are lots that are within that situation. I know that I'm a survivor of different relationships and so on, and I really want to talk about that. But before we do, can you introduce yourself a little bit and tell us what your mantra is, all right? And basically what you do. Yes.
So my mantra is, and I open up my podcast every week with the phrase, take charge of your thoughts, take charge of your life. And that really comes from the cognitive psychotherapy realm, where we look at the impact on our emotions and on, frankly, everything that we do on a daily basis. When we get our mind right, everything else falls into play. If you have a real sad emotion you're experiencing, there's a thought that's fueling that emotion. There's a limited belief that's fueling that thought. And my personal journey as you mentioned I was a psychology professor. Before that, I was a therapist for children in the south side of Chicago. And mm-hmm. these kids were in the foster care system and child welfare. They'd been through, obviously, a great deal of trauma. And then I moved from that capacity to getting my doctorate. And after that, I was a professor, like you said. And in my second position as a professor, I was teaching others to become therapists. So throughout the course of inundating myself into the psychotherapeutic literature and practicing it, I really found that the cognitive approaches were the ones that really resonated. And in fact, the research supports that as well.
And it makes all sense in the world. Thank you for that. Because I always say that even though we've got so many trials in our lives, we have to stay on the positive, you know, because the mind is such a powerful thing. So I really appreciate love that all that you've said. Let's hit the narcissism part.
Let's do it.
All right, because I'm telling you, I don't call myself a victim. I call myself a survivor.
Yes.
So a survivor of relationships where I feel like, you know, oh, yes, the typical before, not now. the typical, oh, this person, if I could just help them to be this way. That was first my thought process going into narcissist relationships. Can you highlight for me some characteristics of a person who just might be a narcissist controlling a relationship?
Well, I think the point you brought up is really key, is that when we are approaching relationships, whether we realize it or not, and that's why all of us on the dating scene and as we embark upon the journey of finding our person have to be very, very clear about what the dynamics that we're bringing to the relationship. So it sounds like you are this loving, kind, generous person, which is wonderful, and your friends and your family are the beneficiaries of your love and generous spirit. But we have to be careful when we're dating that we don't inadvertently attract a fixer-upper, because we're like you said, oh, what could I do? Well, how can I give? How can I help this person?
Right.
Take before. That energy and go. What's that?
I said that was before.
right. Yes. But I think it's important. Yeah. Like mm-hmm. that we share our journey and some of the patterns that we may have had in place before when we were younger and maybe more naive. And it's important to recognize that energy of generosity and kindness, that's great, and take that to a volunteer endeavor. But when we're talking about our relationships, we want to find our equal. And what happens with a lot of women, and we do see this, that tends to be that more men tend to be narcissistic personality disorder, and more women tend to be borderline when it comes to those two different personality disorders. But with men, we see that some of these men have an identity of grandiosity. They believe that they are just extra special and unique, and that no one can understand them. They are so different. And so they have this very, it's a counterintuitive, because when you encounter them, they seem very pompous and arrogant and self-assured, but it's really to protect this very fragile ego.
Yeah.
And what happens is someone like you will come in and you will see them and maybe be charmed initially, because they tend to love bomb. They're going to swoop you off your feet right away.
Yep.
And they're going to present to you that they're so unique and different. And then you are going to go, I get this guy. I am the unique, special person who can fully understand this man. And there might be even a part of you that senses the fragility beneath the posturing. And you're going to then have that sense that, again, that loving and wonderful impulse to tend to and nurture. Unfortunately, it's misplaced here, and you will then try to get in there and feel the sense of, oh wow, he gets me and I get him, we have this unique and special thing, which then quickly derails typically into abusive dynamics.
Yeah, the reality, true.
Yeah,
and tested and true. And I find that people who are in it, it's hard to get out of it. As you mentioned before, the charm. That's the big thing, because usually when someone is being abused, whether it's mental, emotional, or physical, there's usually some reward that makes them go back, which means that charm, which I find really attractive, which is very dangerous. What I'm talking about, sometimes you'll find that people on the outside, they display, right, a certain way of being, and behind closed doors, they're monsters to their partners. You mentioned men, but I want to talk about women, because part of the thing that we fail to recognize in our society, in my opinion, are the narcissism that is strong in women. It's more of a passive aggressive or even an aggressive side, but I feel like there's a lot of narcissism even in women, and men are fall victims too. What is your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not something that is gender exclusive. We definitely see women who are narcissistic. And frankly, there are some psychologists who are starting to look at cultural realities that as at least a Western cultural identity, many of us are becoming more narcissistic. I mean, think about it, the selfies and the everyone's got a YouTube channel, and there's a bit of self-aggrandizing that's going on with all of us. And perhaps there's almost an epidemic of narcissism, and it remains to be seen. Hindsight might provide us with a little bit more clarity, but I think you speak to a very key concern. We've lost a bit of that desire to serve and to give to the community by virtue of the fact that we're pretty insular, and we're doing a lot of navel gazing and a lot less of reaching out and looking to how we can be beneficial to the community.
You are so on point, because I've spoken about this in the past and on the programs with Barrett Frank, wherein I believe that narcissism is something that has been seeded for so long and it's spreading wild. And the problem that I feel with narcissism is that there's no cure. So what happens, and I would love to have your take on it, because we do have borderline narcissism, which wherein if you can recognize in self that you have become so selfish or lack, you know, you lack certain responsibilities in your actions and so on and so forth, that you can make adjustments to be a better person, then that's a borderline. But then when you get the full-blown narcissism where nobody, they refuse to take responsibility, can't see the truth that's within them face to face, there's absolutely no cure. And this is something that's spreading throughout our world, like, you know, that nobody is really addressing. Can you talk to me a little bit on that and what your views are?
Yeah, I think that you're spot on. And we certainly have, there's narcissistic traits that all of us have. I mean, we have, and they're survival traits. I mean, if we start with a baby needs to be taught to be generous. The baby doesn't need to be taught to be selfish. The baby comes out being selfish. And again, that's part of the survival of the species. And so, and then we can talk about full-blown narcissistic personality disorder, which is different than what we're speaking to here, which are narcissistic traits and tendencies. But my concern is exactly what you're saying, is that when we are looking to form healthy, mature, emotionally, mutually supportive relationships, if we have an epidemic of narcissistic traits, at least, in many of the young adults and middle-aged adults even that we're interacting with, we're gonna have a hard time forging those strong relationships. So my concern is for the women in my community, for example, and I've men in my community too, but certainly the women are finding that they're more and more, they're encountering narcissists. And what is that gonna mean for people just trying to find their person and forge a really healthy, fulfilling, beautiful partnership?
Exactly, which is why I also believe it's healthy to be alone. So many people are so caught up with this dependency of needing someone, and I feel like in Spanish there's a wonderful expression, mejor sola que mal acompañada. It's like it's better to be alone than to be with bad company. And so for me, it's like people are so dependent on dependency that they find it a negativity in some way if they are alone. How do you, I mean, you can say yay or nay to this, of course. I'm throwing out my ideas to you and my thoughts and hoping that you can tap in on it as well.
Oh, that is right in my wheelhouse. My book is called Single is the New Black, Don't Wear White Till It's Right. And I advocate exactly what you just spoke to. We can't find a strong relationship if we're coming from a position of neediness, of lack, like I need you to complete me, or I feel so worthless and when I'm alone, I must have a partner or else I don't value myself and I don't value my life. I don't value what I'm contributing to society unless I'm partnered up. That is a horrible approach. It's going to cause you to go with to end up with someone just to have a partner as opposed to having an extraordinary, epic, really fantastic relationship. I completely agree with you, Takis. I think that's one of the main problems we see is that people don't understand that the more that you build into yourself when you're single, that is the fullness that you're bringing to your partnership. And so the stronger and happier you are as an independent person, the stronger and happier your partnership will be.
Oh, gosh, I love you so much. And not because you agree with me, but because it's so poignant. Just some of the, you know, it's like reaffirmation, you know. I've been on my own since I was a teenager, like 16. And so it's everything that I've been taught is really coming from my experiences alone. You know, you might think I've got a strong family backing. I do not. I was born into a religious family of old traditions in the Caribbean, and I am absolutely not religious. So you have to see where I'm coming from. And so it is really wonderful to hear like affirmations on your thoughts based on you just looking at, you know what? Evil should not be an evil on all aspects. You know, it's just, it would appear, and I feel the connection here when we talk about the narcissism that's spreading, is that it makes evil, when I say to people, stop making wrong right, which is what our whole society seems to be based on more and more as all the madness that's going on. And it's rooted in the narcissism, because when you feel that you are, it's okay to do wrong to others and then become the victim, or you instigate more hate or hurt, then that's the evil being considered to be right.
Yeah, and I think it really plays out to this conversation as well, because sometimes when I'm encouraging, so most of the women and men in my community are single, and that's, you know, they found me through my book, and they will be told things like, well, you're so independent now that you'll never be able to be in partnership. And I totally disagree with that. And in fact, the research shows that the older you are at the age of first marriage, the less likely you are to get divorced. So it shows that the strength that we gain as an independent person, but also juxtaposed against that is the reality that we can be strong and independent, but not selfish and evil, like you're saying. We can be strong and independent and not expect anyone to meet our needs or to make us happy. We know that's our job. No one can do that for us.
Right.
And then bring that sense. And so again, getting back to the women in my community, they sometimes go, well, I think people think I'm intimidating, I'm independent, and I have so many opinions, and all these sorts of archaic notions about what it means to be a woman. And I try to encourage them to recognize that, no, the right man is going to love all the fullness of who you are. They won't want a watered-down version of you, and they're going to appreciate your independence. And you can be independent, yes, but also warm and loving and giving. So to your point, the opposite of a narcissist.
Absolutely. And when we talk about our society, it's funny. I saw this post on Facebook this morning where a man says in 1900s, women were not, you know, and what do you think of this? Because I think this is great sort of thing. Women should not speak when a man is speaking to her. She should be quiet. And he says she should be able to prepare her, you know, do the laundry and do all the housework and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, and the big part was that, and she should not refuse sex when her husband demands it if he feels that it's necessary to do so. All these backwards things, right? And I was quite shocked, first of all. I got over my shock and I laid it into him, of course, because I thought it was disgusting and misogynistic to even put that out and think it was okay. But it just begs the question, how far backwards are we going in society wherein we feel that people aren't equal? And I'm just, and this is in relationships. Do you see that there's a pattern where people are trying to be traditionalists again, back in that sort of, you know, restrict women? Is that why you speak so much about the women in your society? And later on, I want to touch your book a little bit more, Doctor.
Yeah, I think that it's definitely a backlash here and there. And it's really interesting because the tendency is we progress and then some people feel uncomfortable with that. So they're kind of sticking to this rigidity. It sounds like that post was something along those lines.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, we want to progress in a way that's mutually beneficial for everyone, that for both genders or both members of the partnership. And it makes me sad where you have a man who's feeling like he would have to demand sex from his wife. Because if you're in a healthy relationship, yeah, there's not in the mood, he's not in the mood, but you're going to give a day to compromise. That's just part of a healthy relationship. But it won't feel like you're sacrificing yourself, and it won't feel like he's demanding something of you. It's going to be that generosity that we were speaking to earlier, the notion that two narcissists are going to have a hideous relationship. It'll be full of angst and abuse, emotional, maybe even physical.
Right.
And you have two people who are trying to give their best self to the person who they may have waited a very long time to meet. You're not going to have that kind of energy of who's dominating who. And let's just go back to the days when I could boss you around and you had to take it. And that's just, I mean, that's ludicrous. It kind of blows my mind that someone's actually posting something like that.
Yes, they did. And the worst part of it is that it's from, as you talk about the cultural thing, because this was an African man that posted a photo of an African woman sitting on an African man's lap. And the imagery for me of that slavery mentality was just shocking. But also the list of the things that were just unbelievable for a woman to even have gone through, right? But we shall move on from there, because that we have only an hour and I only have a very little time with you. So I need to get you back on the show. So one thing I want to address is the book that you have written, and I would like you to explore that for us. What shall we expect from it, and where can we actually get access to it?
So thank you for asking. And yes, I wrote the book. It's called Single is the New Black, Don't Wear White Till It's Right. And it's really the book that I wish had been available to me when I was single. My journey includes, as I mentioned before, my professional life was going really well, but my personal life not as well. And a lot of boyfriends and broken hearts, and in fact, a broken engagement when I was 34, 2 months before the wedding, I realized I was engaged to a great guy, but not my guy. And I was back in the dating scene at 35, living in Chicago. And like many women, I thought, well, let me just go and check out the self-help section and see if I can get some instruction, maybe some pointers. And the book's self-help section, I think, the authors had the right intentions, of course, but the messages ultimately seem to suggest that if you're single longer than you want to be, you must be doing something fundamentally wrong, and you've got some tragic flaw that needs to be sorted out before you'll be worthy of partnership. And that really bothered me, because I thought, yes, I'm a human with foibles and flaws like anyone, but I don't think I'm any more tragically flawed than my happily married counterparts. So I was complaining to my parents one time of these discouraging messages, and my dad said to me, you know, psychologist, maybe you need one. I thought, yeah, I think I do. There's room for a vantage point that of assuming that there's something so wrong, woman, single longer than she would like to or her family expects her to be. Let's look at the possibility that she is strong and independent, and that she has the wherewithal to know that she deserves an extraordinary relationship. She's not willing to settle for something just to have a man by her side or a woman by her side. Partnership in itself isn't better or worse than the single life. Only it's all better if it's two people who are coming together to form this lovely connection that's really much better than their experience single. And I think that the problem is, in our culture, we assume that partnership is better than singleness. It's really sad, because it forces people to then minimize their value as a single person and seek partnership at all costs, whether or not the connection is anything that's even adding value to their lives whatsoever.
Absolutely. And on that note, that is a strong note, because, you know, we have to recognize that being in a couple, a healthy, non-toxic relationship is just as great as being single in a healthy, non-toxic relationship. You know, and it was Mia, the artist, she's married to herself. And I was like, you go, you go, girl. You know, she got married to herself. Which is a huge self-love thing, you know, to each his own. But, you know, but I was right. It's a strong statement to say it's okay to be alone. you know, as long as you are happy within yourself. Dr. Karen, I want to thank you so much. Merci beaucoup. Muchas gracias there to see on AMA. It was truly wonderful having you come in and express all that you do and to also to provide some affirmations, which I needed and I think many people do. And also for us to talk about your book, Single is the New Black. Please tell us something that could inspire our listeners before heading off, and also how we can reach you, because you too have your podcast as well, and we'd love to share the love.
Well, thank you to Keith for inviting me to join you today. It's a real honor to share with your community, and I really appreciate it to have a conversation with you. I can be found, I'm most active on Instagram at Dr. Karin. It's dr.karin. You know, I don't know if it's the case up there, but no one likes Karens down here. So remember that it's an I-N, not an E-N.
Yeah, no. Well, it's a world thing. We don't like the Karens and the E's.
I know. Well, and it's funny because my dad was half Norwegian. So they put the I because that's the way the Norwegians would spell it. And they would actually pronounce it Karin.
Karin.
So I'm thinking I need to start to be Dr. Karin so that people don't.
I think so.
But anyway, yeah, and my podcast is called Love and Life with Dr. Karin, and we talk about all kinds of relationship stuff, but also other issues that have to do with therapy, and like we talked about earlier, mindset, and I share a lot of research from science, from therapeutic literature to help us thrive, love, and life. My final word of encouragement to your community is everything that we've been talking about today is just truth. I've lived it. You've lived it. In those moments when they maybe are feeling lonely or feeling frustrated that they haven't found one that they're cool to be with, remember exactly what you said, that no one determines your value other than you. And it's hard. The single shaming is a real thing. It's out there, and you may get looked at a certain type of way when you go home for Christmas and someone in your family thinks you should have a partner. You know what? We are stronger together. You can find your community like yours, community like mine. We are here for you. And you know, as someone who almost married the wrong person, I can say that true love was the wait. I didn't get married until I was two, but I can tell you that waiting for the right partnership, something that's really exceptional, extraordinary, is completely worth it.
Yes, 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 there's hope for my warrior king. Oh, well, maybe. I am so particular.
Well,
you know, I think...
Stay picky.
Sorry?
Oh, I was going to say there's research that shows that being picky is a great idea. There's research out at the University of North Carolina that shows that when we're dating, maintaining high standards is related to finding happiness and high standard quality marriages. So stay picky.
Thank you, sweetie. I appreciate love it so much. I've grown so much over the years, and I'm grateful. I wouldn't go back at all. I keep going forward. Dr. Karin, we're gonna own your name, K-A-R-I-N, Karin, because you're great. All right, we have to deal away with the stereotypes. We do not like certain Karens, but we love this one.
Thank you.
All right, thank you for joining us at ABBA. Much love and light.
Thank you.
Bueno, es el momento para decir muchas gracias a todos. Ha sido un placer. I know that we've learned something today. Hemos aprendido algo hoy. Eso es lo que yo creo. And thank you so much, Dr. Karin, for taking the time out of your busy schedule to enlighten us in a way that you cannot imagine. And my affirmations, it's such a great feeling knowing that you can move forward on a positive light. Merci beaucoup à tout le monde. Hasta el próximo jueves. Le prochain jeudi, on se parle plus avec la bonne musique et de bonnes vibrations. À tout à l'heure. Ciao. Here on Ava. You don't know.
On CKUT 9.3 FM.
Martin Carly, and I like to popularize science. Vaccination against COVID-19 for children aged 5 to 11 has begun. As parents, you may be asking if your child will receive the same vaccine as adults. The vaccine used for children younger than 12 years old contains a smaller amount of mRNA because children's immune systems respond better than those of adults. And even though they're given smaller doses, the vaccine is just as effective. For